The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Enter this question.
What is the question?
The question is, was it appropriate to bury the Hunter Biden?
You're talking about the press doing that?
He's saying that's what they did, and that is what they did. They buried the Hunter Biden story before the election because they were like, we can't risk having the election thrown to Trump. We'll tell them after the election. Well,
and we know for a fact that that's what they did?
Of course. You
no,
don't
but
follow
I mean,
this.
Saying you know for a fact that that's what they did. I don't know what they did.
I know, because you only watch MSNBC.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Well, then you would know about this.
I do know about that.
Well, you're acting like you know.
I do know about that, and I do watch Fox. But the point is, we're going to prove now that the press tried to...
They're admitting it. The press is admitting it. Yes, that's not even an issue anymore. They're saying, yes, we basically did this because we didn't want this to throw the election. Yes?
I don't know that they've all said this.
There's a senator at the end there, Amy Klobuchar, who's trying to come in and defend Rob Reiner. And Bill Maher just pointing out the obvious. Well, of course they suppressed it. They didn't want Trump to win the election. It's hard for them to explain this now or to come up with some sort of justification for what they did. To Bill Maher's credit, at least in this case, he's being honest. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on their platform. To get to our live video stream, you've got to go over to our very own website. That's thetrumpet.com. That's the homepage. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and it takes you to the live stream page, and you can also get to our podcast that we post after the fact. So I mentioned you have the radical left-wing Hollywood guy. Then you've got someone who's in Congress, Amy Klobuchar. She's a senator. And this is her response. This is how she rises in defense of the radicals, the communists. She went on to say this just a few seconds later, clip 9.
But I think Rob's point here is that we are dealing with a man who used to be the president right now, who literally tried to lead an armed insurrection.
Oh, insurrection. We're back on this one. Yeah, forget about Hunter Biden. Forget about the fact that the FBI suppressed the story. The FBI and the media just obediently went along. Mark Zuckerberg admitted it. Yeah, we squashed the story, and it had a substantial impact on the flow of information, and we were told to do so by the FBI. They said what was coming was Russian disinformation. So Twitter and Facebook, they sprung to action. And you see there, they have no response to this now. They can't defend it. So it's January 6th. It's the insurrection. That's what we're dealing with. Forget about Hunter Biden. Forget about all of that. He led an armed insurrection. They're all connected, these events. The stolen election, Hunter's laptop, the stolen election. And then, as we'll talk about later on in this segment, the cover-up. Using the so-called insurrection to cover up the massive fraud that the communists got away with on November 3rd, well, even on days before November 3rd, and certainly for days after November 3rd, but November 3rd of 2020. Yesterday, we talked about the war to recover, Jeroboam's war to recover what was stolen. Donald Trump came out with one of his strongest, most bold statements about the stolen election and what should be done about it. This is what he said on Truth Social. So now it comes out conclusively that the FBI buried the Hunter Biden laptop story before the election, knowing that if they didn't, Trump would have easily won the 2020 presidential election. It says, this is massive fraud and election interference. Who can deny that it's election interference? It says, at a level never before seen in our country, remedy, declare the rightful winner, or, and this would be the minimal solution, declare the 2020 election irreparably compromised and have a new election immediately. Now, of course, they all the talking heads, even on the right, many of them said, oh, this is just absurd. Another absurd statement from Donald Trump. And you know, when they react the way that they do, you know he's over the target. There is a war going on to recover what was stolen. And Trump's supporters, Donald Trump's supporters, they know he's right. And they know if you don't go back and fix 2020, they're just going to be stealing from here on out. It could even happen in November of this year for the midterms. We'll see. Yesterday I talked about how that they'd prefer a civil war than to lose an election. Of course, there's going to be observers, poll watchers like never before, I'm sure, on both sides. But these radicals, they want to destroy America as we know it. That's the end goal. That's the game that they're playing. Destroy the system. Tear out the foundation. And Donald Trump, of course, as we played for you those clips last week from him, he represents an existential threat to the communist left. And every day it seems there's another revelation. I think he came out with that statement on Truth Social before we heard the news yesterday afternoon of this FBI agent, Timothy Theobald, who he's basically high up involved in all the Russiagate investigations. He's involved in the Mar-a-Lago raid. He's involved in the Hunter Biden laptop cover-up. He's so left-wing. He's so biased that he couldn't stay on at the agency. This was like another Peter Strzok. I'm sure he's not worrying too much, this guy, because he's probably got another job waiting for him in the corporate media. They'll pick him up. He'll be a good commentator. But he's so lopsidedly biased that the FBI had to escort him out. We don't even know for sure if he's fired or he's certainly going to get his pension. So the American taxpayer will keep paying his salary, no doubt. They'll quietly dismiss him, saying that, you know, we took care of that problem. Yeah, there was a problem. He was a little bit biased. We got rid of him. As if Chris Wray and Merrick Garland and Joe Biden and Barack Obama are completely fair-minded and objective. It's runs right through the agency. Certainly the top level of the agency. These people are crooked cops. They're crooked cops. This is a police state. The FBI is the armed wing of the Joe Obama administration. This is what it said at Conservative Treehouse. According to the Washington Times, and further confirmed by John Solomon via contact with Chuck Grassley, the lead FBI Washington Field Office special agent, the Washington Field Office, that's the office that organized the Mar-a-Lago raid. It says the lead FBI Washington Field Office special agent in charge, Tim Theobald, was removed from his position and reportedly escorted out of the FBI headquarters on Friday, although his employment status is unknown. It says FBI special agent Tim Theobald is one of the people at the center of the FBI whistleblower allegations, claiming the agent was politically biased and ideologically motivated in his FBI investigative duties. So it's not even just that he was escorted out on Friday. These whistleblowers that went to Chuck Grassley a few weeks back, we played the quotes, remember, or the clips from Miranda Devine. They named him. These whistleblowers named him. This guy's another Peter Strzok. This guy's motivated by ideology. He's motivated by his political bias in all of his investigations. These are FBI agents. You know, the ones that Bill Barr sticks up for and says, you know, Chris Wray's not that kind of guy. The people at the top, said Bill Barr. The people at the top, they're as pure as the driven snow, for sure. Well, what about this guy? What about Chris Wray? It was under Chris Wray's watch that the FBI created from thin air a kidnapping plot, a murder plot, in order to frame Donald Trump supporters. That, we now know, was a trial run for the January 6th insurrection. And why would the FBI be at the heart of that so-called insurrection? Why did they send agents into the protest to try to incite violence? Because the FBI is covering up the stolen election, just like they covered up the Hunter Biden laptop story. That's the number one job for your FBI at the moment. Cover up the election steal. They've got to cover their tracks. They've got to cover up the lawlessness. Remember, January 6th, that was the day Congress would actually examine the evidence of the stolen election. But they never quite got around to that, did they? No, because for 4 hours, there were people walking through the Capitol taking selfies. And this was an attempted coup. So we're told. Everything had to shut down. People were running for their lives. Josh Hawley, he's doing the slow jog across the hallway. It's all part of the attack. America under attack. Couldn't have come out at a better time, as I keep saying. Just arrived at the MPC facility a few days ago. And we're already packing just as many as we can to send them out so that you can understand why this is happening in the United States of America. It's all prophesied. This from CBS. Tim Thebold, a top-level FBI agent who had been under fire for his role in investigations regarding President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, resigned late last week and was walked out of the FBI, two U.S. officials confirmed. But these officials also said that Thebold had reached retirement age, and they added that all of those who retire hand over their badge and so on. So it could just be that he was kind of quietly retired away. But here he is, a top-level agent. He's working on the cover-up of Hunter Biden and all of these 2016, 17, 18 investigations into Donald Trump, the Russia collusion hoax. He was part of Russiagate. And it gets better. He was part of the Mar-a-Lago raid. And there's more. Wait for it. He was also out there trying to protect the 2020 election, to make sure that everything was totally secure. Can you believe this? You can't make this up. Look at this video from Tim Thebold. I think it came out of that. Maybe he was working out of the Portland office at the time. But this is in the lead up to the 2020 election. Here he is explaining what he was doing to make sure that there would be no voter fraud in the November 2020 presidential election. Clip 5.
The FBI is charged with protecting the rights of all Americans, including their right to vote. While the responsibility to ensure a fair election process lies primarily at the state and local level, the FBI takes allegations of election-related violations of federal law seriously. The FBI investigates federal election crimes that generally fall into three categories: campaign finance crimes, voter ballot fraud, and civil rights violations. The FBI Washington Field Office works with our state and federal partners to engage with other law enforcement partners and provide resources about the FBI's role in elections.
The FBI, he says, has a responsibility to ensure a fair election process, which, of course, is why they covered up the Hunter Biden laptop scandal, because they have a responsibility to ensure that it's fair. You keep connecting the dots, as I've just been rolling over it in my mind after Friday's show in particular, where we commented on Zuckerberg's revelation that the FBI called them and said, yeah, squash it. Don't report on Hunter Biden. Follow Twitter's lead. Blot him out. Censor them. And there he is. This guy, the one that was escorted out of the FBI because he's so openly and blatantly biased, like Peter Strzok, he has to be escorted out. There he was in 2020 saying, hey, listen up. We have a responsibility to ensure a fair election process. They know. They know about the cheating. They know about the mules. They know about all of the machine glitches. They know Hunter Biden's laptop would have brought the Biden crime family down. They know all of that. And their job, their number one job, their primary responsibility at the moment is to cover all of this up. To cover it up. Have you noticed how many commentators have said that the Mar-a-Lago raid was about covering up the Russia collusion hoax documents? Yeah, they went in there to gather, not I'm sure they'll take some evidence or make it up if they have to try to get Trump, because that's one of their main objectives too. It's get Trump and it's cover our tracks. So they go into Mar-a-Lago, they're looking for the Russiagate documents because they don't want to be exposed. And they're being exposed, so somebody's got to be a fall guy here. Oh, thankfully we found the one guy. The one guy who's politically biased. The one guy who's actually motivated by ideology. His name is Tim Tebalt. Chris Wray. You can almost hear Chris Wray in some kind of a Senate or a House hearing saying, yeah, that was problematic, and we did get rid of him. He was involved in you go back to 2016. We're talking about 6 years here. Chris Wray can't come forward and say, yeah, we just didn't know it was going on that high up at the FBI. He was there for 6 years. You get rid of Peter Strzok and you've got another Peter Strzok Jr. taking his place in a second. And if truth be told, it goes all the ideology, the radical left-wing communist ideology, it runs through the administration all the way to the top and over to the DOJ with Merrick Garland. That's right. That's why they're targeting parents. That's why they're targeting Trump supporters. That's why they're making up insurrections. That's why the DOJ's biggest investigation in history is the protesters from January 6th. And this is what Amy Klobuchar just circles right back to. Well, what about covering up this Hunter story? January 6th. Listen, forget about that. We're dealing with January 6th. That's all they have. The lies, the deceit. Speaking of lies, here's James Clapper on CNN, clip one.
The reason I say that is because one determination will be who actually had access, who saw these documents, who might have reproduced them, who might have photographed them. And then there's the potential damage. Then you can render an actual damage assessment. Mm-hmm. What you really have to do, though, in the end, is a worst-case assumption that a sophisticated foreign adversary intelligence service got a hold of these documents, and what is it they could potentially glean? You also have to make a worst-case assumption. Once these documents are out of government custody, where the government is not protected, is not in a position to protect these documents, they are in areas that don't meet storage requirements for the protection of highly sensitive classified information. So that is the worst case assumption that you have to make. What is the potential damage that could be done to U.S. intelligence capabilities? So again, we can infer that if these fell into the wrong hands of a sophisticated adversary intelligence service and what they might be able to glean from them, and then what mitigation steps need to be taken.
Yada, 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 and on it goes. Just think about what could possibly happen here. In other words, the translation, if you want it more succinctly, we got nothing. We got nothing. We're going to have to make something up to take him down. We're going to have to make something up for this indictment, just like we did for the affidavit, just like we did for the FISA courts. We'll just make it up. We'll just lie. We've got to take him down. We've got to put him in prison. He's the supreme evil in the United States of America. Donald John Trump, the supreme evil. Keep in mind, said Klobuchar, keep in mind, this is a man who wanted to lead an armed insurrection. That's a sitting senator of the United States of America. They got nothing. So we're back to where Jim Comey started. The possibilities. The possibilities of damage. Are you saying it happened? I'm not saying it happened. But it's possible. It's possible that it happened. the potential, what did he say? The worst case assumption? That's what it is? Never mind Hillary's documents, you know, the ones she destroyed, all the classified documents that Jim Comey admitted she had. Well, how about the worst case assumption there? How about the foreign adversaries we have that stole those documents? Never mind that. We just got to look at Mar-a-Lago and we've got to imagine how bad it could be. What if there are nuclear documents? What if there are nuclear documents? And what if the Russians or some other adversary gets a hold of those documents? He's got to be held responsible. Listen to, again, more of this lunacy over at, not sure which station this is on. This is clip two.
You know, documents are what, you know, allowed the Soviet Union to steal our nuclear secrets. You know, they developed an atomic bomb because of what? U.S. spies gave them documents. And so, you know, when you have something of that nature, that's when kind of the hair goes up in the back of your head. And again, what is in, you know, what is in that document? Is it something that could reveal the identity of a CIA agent, someone we recruited overseas? You know, could a foreign adversary kind of reverse engineer whatever was in those documents to narrow down, you know, a counterintelligence search and you know, catch agents of ours? So to me, you know, what was most telling was that there are documents. And that kind of is something that's got to be looked into, because at the end of the day, you know, that's what spies try to do, steal documents.
He's a spy now. He's trying to steal documents, and the hair on the back of that guy's head, I guess, is standing up. It's so terrifying. The possibilities, the worst case assumptions, what could happen. It's very, very concerning to these people. Listen to this. Let's see. This is as a historian. Well, maybe we can skip that and move ahead to Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan's commenting on the resignation of Tim Tebalt and what is wrong inside of the FBI. This is clip four.
They relate to January 6th, they relate to the school board issue, and they relate to this overarching pressure to catalog cases. That's why Tebalt left today. He left today because he was the guy who pressured to bury the Hunter Biden story, the whistleblower told Senator Grassley, and a different whistleblower told us he was the same guy who's pressuring agents to catalog all cases as domestic violent extremism cases when they're not. This is this whole effort to politicize everything. That's what they're up to.
Okay,
wrong. And you're exactly right, Sean. The fact that no one was really held accountable, I think of the treatment McCabe and Strzok get compared to Congressman Perry, who's on vacation with his family, and they take his phone, which has all kinds of privileged information. Is there some taint team looking at that now? Or is the Inspector General doing that? We don't know.
We don't know. He's a member of Congress. He knows. You know. I know. There's no oversight. They clean it up a little bit in-house if they have to. You know, make somebody the fall guy. You know, we do look pretty bad after Mar-a-Lago, so let's take out Tebalt. Let's move him out of the way. And now the agency's back to, you know, 100% purity. 100% objective. They don't know. Congress doesn't know. And every time they do testify, as you've seen on this show, they come out with that's an ongoing investigation. And it'll be the same with Mar-a-Lago. If they do come before a committee and they're asked about the documents at Mar-a-Lago, they'll be able to say it's an ongoing investigation. They can always fall back on old reliable. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, remember this brochure as well. He was right. And I refer you to the Communist Infiltration chapter quite often. It's in that booklet. If you don't have a copy of it or America Under Attack, make sure that you call our operators today. It's 1-866-930-3024. But he wrote an article back in 1968. It was a time of protest and turmoil and violence all across the United States. The student revolt, the civil rights movement, all these things going on at the time, and a lot of division in the United States of America. And one of the things that Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Plain Truth, keep in mind, it was 1968, so we're talking about 55 years ago, but he talked about how the communists take advantage of emotional moments to pursue their agenda. And it's even so much worse today because some of the emotional moments, they do capitalize, never let a crisis go to waste, but some of the controversial, more emotional, you know, hot button issues are fake. They're made up or they're created by the FBI, as I noted earlier. In any event, he says here that the communists, they take advantage of these events and they infiltrate movements like the civil rights movement. This is what he said in 1968. That's the context, anyway, that I'll give you as I read through these quotes. This is Herbert Armstrong, though. He says, in some instances, it may have been a circumstance or a combination of circumstances happening simultaneously rather than a planned, deliberately provoked uprising. But in most cases, I can tell you definitely that these riots and student uprisings have been deliberately planned, intentionally provoked, well organized. We saw the same thing in 2020. George Soros and his groups financing, you know, the rioting, the protesting, busing them in some cases. Organized, planned. He even uses the word provoked. I mean, it's easy to see or know that that's going on from the Soros organizations, but to think now that, yeah, the FBI is right in there helping them. The FBI is right in there participating. It's the same ideology. So yeah, don't go after the rioters from 2020. Go after grandma who took the selfie. That's the right political alley to stay in if you're at the FBI. Now, if you're too blatant about it and you know, we're coming under some heat at the agency, we might have to off one of you. We might have to turn on one of our own. We might have to sacrifice Thibault to the wolves so that we can give the appearance that we're really above reproach, that we're really objective about all the issues, that we're really, you know, we're just after fighting crime, fighting against violence and criminality. This is from Mr. Armstrong. In 1968, he says, I know, too, that it has become somewhat normal to cry communist as a dirty epithet, a nonspecific accusation against any person or group one doesn't like. But when I say communist, Herbert Armstrong wrote in 1968, when I say communist, in this case, I mean specifically just that. Wow, what a statement. The communist movement operates in ways most people do not recognize. It is well organized and efficient. It injects trained communists into many movements and societies, themselves not communist, and subtly influences them into moves and actions that are that secretly are communist planned and directed. Yet the officers and most members of such organizations are not themselves communist and do not realize that they're being used. See, they're the useful idiots. Now, this is 55 years ago, and I'm sure there's even at the very top, people aren't going to kind of waltz around Washington, D.C., and yeah, I'm a card-carrying communist. I'm proud of it. But they've succumbed to the ideology. The ideology has taken hold of the entire leadership structure of the United States, and that's why it's get Trump at all costs. Because he exposed this. He showed the American people that yes, we are in a war. We are in a war against this swamp, against this communist attack. Mr. Armstrong says here, today communists appear on college and university campuses under the guise of the new left, the new leftist movement, the student revolt movement, exploding on so many campuses into violence, is actually a carefully planned and expertly organized effort to overthrow the governments of nations. I can take you back to quotes that are even earlier than this. They're mentioned, and he was right. Make sure you call our operators and request your free copy. Tom Klingenstein, he's the one that established the Claremont Institute. And forgive the kind of monotone tone that he has or pace that he uses or the kind of strange background from where he said this. But listen to what he says. I think the words are important here. What he says about Donald Trump and what Donald Trump exposed during his presidency and even beyond. This is clip 7.
Trump was born for the current crisis, the life and death struggle against a totalitarian enemy I call woke communism. That agenda rests on the conviction that America is bad. As Trump once said, their goal is not to make America better. Their goal is to end America. Make no mistake, we are in the midst of a cold civil war. Trump awakened the public to this fact. You cannot win a war unless you know you are in one. Trump's critics say he caused or exacerbated the divide in this country. No, he didn't. He revealed, not caused, an existing divide. In war, you must make a stand. For that, we need strong men. Weak men do anything to avoid admitting the hardest truth because they lack the resolve to do what truth demands of them. Trump is a manly man. In present time, when manhood is being stripped of its masculinity, traditional manhood, even when flawed, is absolutely essential.
So he says some pretty insightful comments about how that Trump exposed before all of Americans that we're in a war. A lot of people didn't understand that or see it before 2016 or before he came down the escalator. Mr. Armstrong, by the way, going back to that 1968 article, he takes it a step farther. This is 55 years ago. You just heard a guy say something recently over the Claremont Institute. Mr. Armstrong said, it's not a cold war, it's a hot war, communist style. It is the old, old strategy of divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And if they start catching on, if they're on to you, then you just point the finger right back at them. This is good communist ideology here. You point the finger back at them and say, you're a fascist. You're the Nazi. You're the enemy. And we've got to put you in jail. We've got to use all these authoritarian tactics to squash the enemy, to crush the resistance. And that's what we're seeing play out right now. It's happening. Listen to one more shorter quote from this same commentator, clip 8.
Against the advice of most in his party, Trump has not let go of the claim that the 2020 election was stolen from him. His base backs him, and well, they should. They know that Republicans will lose all future elections until they get to the bottom of the last one.
You see, he's backed by the base, but not by the establishment. You see all these statements, Ben Shapiro coming out saying, we got to stop talking about Trump. Get back on the economy and the border. It's not so much a red wave anymore. It's like a red puddle. Britt Hume, he comes out with a tweet. He agrees with Ben Shapiro. All these so-called conservatives, they don't have any fight in them. They won't stand up with courage. The base, like this man pointed out, the base, though, understands that if you don't face and confront the corruption from 2020, who's to say they won't pull it off again? They'll find some way. Look at what they're doing. They're willing to convict Donald Trump of nothing in order to maintain their grip, their stranglehold on power. They were willing to cover up Hunter Biden's laptop. Of course they were willing to cheat a few weeks later. They were willing to put FBI agents right in the midst of the Whitmer kidnapping to frame Trump supporters. It was a good trial run. The regional officer over Detroit, there for the FBI, they shipped him to D.C. right before the January 6 hoax so that he could preside over that. He's probably still at the FBI. Forget that guy's name. There's Peter Strzok all over the place. They're all over the place. You go back to the Obama years. Obama, when he was in control, and he's running his third term at the moment, but he thoroughly purged these agencies, even the military, of traditionalists, of patriots. There may be one here and there. There's a few whistleblowers, thankfully. But those agencies were purged of patriotism. As that man pointed out in the clip I just played for you, their ideology is that America is evil and it has to be destroyed as we know it. And they're having quite a lot of success in doing that. Town Hall says, also, what's with the well, let me skip ahead. This is from the Washington Examiner. I'll get to the subject of standing strong and being courageous here in the final segment in just a moment. But coming back to Donald Trump's statement from yesterday, the election steal, he still is as strong and as bold as ever. How can you not be when Facebook... Not some, you remember how much they made of just a few Russian Facebook pages? How that's, I guess, influenced the election in the favor of Trump back in 2016. Yeah, just some Facebook user, some no-name guy that was on his Facebook page or in the chat saying, yeah, you better vote for Trump. They used that as proof that Trump was illegitimate. The FBI didn't go to 3 or 4 Facebook users. They went straight to Zuckerberg. They went to the creator, the founder of Facebook, and they said across the platform, we want you to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story. And he did. He did it. Big tech's in on it. The FBI, though. The FBI? The Washington Examiner says much of the attention paid to allegations of interference in the 2020 election has focused on former President Trump's claims of voter fraud and malfeasance. However, potential fraud at the polls is far less disturbing than the growing body of evidence that Democrats, the FBI, big tech, and legacy media worked together right out in the open. To put President Joe Biden in the White House. Cheating on a mass scale, right out in the open, in plain view, for everyone to see it. And they know it now. They know they've been caught, like Donald Trump always says. So what do they do? January 6th, insurrection. Armed insurrection, says the senator. Wow. An armed insurrection? Yeah. They say with a straight face, change the subject, go back to the insurrection hoax. That's all we've got. It says here, the reason all of this is so damning is that Hunter Biden's laptop had the potential to change the outcome of the 2020 election, and everyone knew it. That's why the FBI allegedly delayed its investigation into Hunter Biden until after the election. Why the New York Times and the Washington Post confirmed that Hunter Biden's laptop was legitimate only after Biden was in office, and why big tech tycoons such as Zuckerberg are only admitting they were wrong to crack down on the story years after the fact. They were all in on it. It was a full court press by our institutions to interfere in the 2020 election, and thanks to a group of FBI whistleblowers, something we've never had before, it's all starting to come to light. It's all being exposed, isn't it? Now would be a perfect time to call our operators and to request America Under Attack. The toll-free number, if you're in the United States, Canada, the Caribbean, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Last night we had our first Armstrong Spokesman Club meeting for the school year. This is when all of the male students at the college, the gentlemen, meet together to carry out this speech training that some of the clips we've played for you today could have benefited from a little bit of speech training, but I'll leave that aside. In any event, this is one of our specialties, and to see the young men go from 18 to 22-ish and to grow in their ability to speak before an audience, to speak publicly, it really makes you appreciate all that God inspired Herbert Armstrong to do. I mean, we've got his writings available. He was a master communicator for sure, whether with the written word or the spoken word. But he also established the speech training program at Armstrong College, or Ambassador College, I should say, before us. And he established the Spokesman Club meetings as well. And those went on at AC, but also all around the world as men from congregations would assemble together every week or every other week and go through these 12 lessons, 12 different speeches, each of them just building on top of one another and maybe going back and giving another one again if you didn't quite fulfill all of the objectives in that particular assignment. And then graduating, in the case of our students, 4 years later, from this wonderful program, learning to speak on your feet in table topics sessions. When we discuss world news or difficult scriptures in the Bible to explain, just an excellent exercise in leadership, learning how to be a servant leader. I gave the men this quote last night. It's from the club manual. It says, "Yet much of the value to you, the club member, to you, and to God in developing an instrument for his use depends on your attitude and the vigor and the purpose you put into it. One of the laws of success is drive." Of course, Herbert Armstrong wrote a booklet called The 7 Laws of Success. The fourth law that he discusses in that booklet is drive. Learn to drive yourself. Learn to push yourself. He goes on and says, "Here is a place," speaking of the club environment, "here is a place where you can use drive. It says, when you enter an Armstrong club room, always be on your toes, alert, alive. It says, be keyed up. Be keyed up. Let your personality have freedom of expression. Radiate. Give out." That's the principle of God's love, right? Unselfish, outflowing concern for others. Love is action. It's action in the direction of God's love and his spirit, his Holy Spirit. But coming back to making the club experience, you really can apply this lesson, this instruction, to any activity or endeavor. You've got to be keyed up. I'm not talking about, you know, in a self-help kind of way. You get all kinds of books at airports that say, if you do this and this and this, I mean, you'll be a success or whatever. And you do have to push yourself, though. But and for sure, we want God's Spirit leading the way, Romans 8 and verse 14. But there is something to be said for being keyed up. Now, I told the men last night, before you come to the meetings, make sure you kneel down and get a few minutes of prayer in before you come and ask for God to bless the experience overall for everyone and to bless your contribution and to help you get keyed up for the experience. There's a lot going on at God's College. All these young men are busy with studies and sports and work. And sometimes if your mindset isn't just right, you could maybe dread the responsibility of another activity. But with God's help, we can come into these opportunities, and that's what they are. We can come into them keyed up, excited about what contribution we can make, how much we can give to the program. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says this, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether you go." There's none of this in the grave. You got one pass, God says. So you better make the most of it. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Do it with all of your strength. Do it with all of your power. That Hebrew word for might there, it's the same one used in Judges 16 where it refers to Samson's great strength. Samson, you know, the Hulk in the Bible that knocked down a building with his God-given strength. God says, bring strength, bring might, bring power to whatever you do. Notice it doesn't just say, you know, to the very few activities that you kind of like the best, that you really enjoy doing, any job, any responsibility, whatever it is you have if you're a father, a mother, I mean, your role is going to require that you do a lot of different things, and some of them are more fun than others. But we've got to bring energy and might to all of those tasks, or else we're just going to be bored silly. Colossians 3 and verse 22, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God." So really support the boss. Serve him. Don't straighten up when you see the supervisor come along. Just put your heart into it. Be wholehearted. Verse 23, it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily." Here's a nice companion verse to the one we read in Ecclesiastes. "Do it heartily as to the eternal and not unto men." Do it because you're excited about serving Christ. Be a slave to Jesus Christ. Study Matthew 20. Study Romans 6. See what God says about true servant leadership, what it means to be a true Christian. God is the one that we're trying to please here. Yes, we need to get a job. If you're the head of a home, you need to make an income so that you can provide for your family. But above all, we're working for God. We're serving God. Verse 24 says, "Knowing that of the eternal you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." This is who we're serving. By serving our boss, by serving our instructors, by serving our parents, we're actually serving God. We're actually building godly character. Think about how much character you can build. Carrying out an activity that maybe isn't the most fun experience in the world. Verse 25 says, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons." See, cause and effect. Cause and effect. We do reap what we sow. I was telling the guys last night, you know, every Monday night, 7 o'clock, you've got this 2-hour and 15-minute meeting. It's every week. It's mandatory. You got to come. So come with the right mindset and make the most of it. Don't come in with no energy. That's really the spirit of this age. You know, the spirit of apathy and just people who are indifferent. Passive. I saw a video, these people in a train, there's two fights going on right behind them, and you've got four people sitting in the row in front, just sitting there like this, just quietly looking ahead. They didn't even look behind them. They're just carrying on as if, I guess this is normal now. One guy finally did get up and just moved to the front. Nobody got up and said, "Stop it, what are you doing? You're hurting each other. You're going to get arrested," or something like that. You can understand a little bit of the hesitancy today just because there's so many deranged people that are carrying deadly weapons. And most, if they're not filming it with their phone, they just want to stay out of it. But what, I mean, what a perfect symbol for all of society. The dumpster fire is going on behind you, but just carry on. Act like, what, most, it's mostly peaceful what's going on here. It's it, in this train car, it's just really peaceful. Nobody, you see, has the courage to stand up, to step forward, to try to bring peace to a situation. Hebrews 10 and verse 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." God takes no pleasure in someone who draws back. Faith, if it's godly faith, if it's the faith of Christ, it has to be mixed with works. Otherwise, it's dead. It's just talk. That's what you see today, just a lot of talk. And yet, when you see someone like Donald Trump, for example, who actually is a man of action and a man of substance in so many ways, a man of courage, a man of principle, he comes out with that statement yesterday. I gave it to you at the start. I mean, we should have a redo. We need to go back and fix this evil. There's nothing like this that's ever happened to the United States. A lot of his fellow Republicans, they want to draw back, though. Let's just forget about that and move on. And, oh, by the way, don't tell everyone yet, but we're hoping to move on without the bad orange man. Verse 39, it says, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We don't draw back, says Paul. We've got to step forward in faith, and whatever we do, do it with all your might. You do see a lot of passion and zeal in this world, but it's always to carry out evil activities, evil behavior. People get so passionate about evil. Then talk to them about the Bible or the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, and that's when, I don't want to hear about that. That's where they take the more passive. That's where there's the built-in, you know, hostility toward God. Don't bring God into this at all. That spirit, that Laodicean spirit of lukewarmness, it's everywhere around us. The spirit of apathy and indifference, the spirit of passivity, the spirit of dullness and just this dispassionate mindset. Don't get too worked up about anything. Look, we got to move on from Trump. He's too much of a lightning rod of controversy. We've got to move on so that we can continue in our beloved establishment party, so that we can continue with this nice, soft tone that's very scholarly sounding and that people just love. Do they? Do they really love it? Or do they rally around someone that has a little bit of principle? Someone that speaks the truth. It may not always be what people want to hear, but someone who has the courage to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done, and to stay with something and not just give up at the first sign of losing or the first setback. Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Seven Laws of Success, "Yes, 9 in 10, at least once or twice in a lifetime, come to the place where they appear to be totally defeated. All is lost, apparently that is. They give up and quit when just a little more determined hanging on, just a little more faith and perseverance, just a little more stick-to-itiveness would have turned apparent certain failure into glorious success." That's what we're going after here. In the end, it's glorious success in God's coming kingdom. Put your heart into everything that you do in service to God. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to send us an email, we can be reached at td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.